Yes, sir, we promised you a great main event here tonight.
WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild.
Oh, yeah. And he's back. When you hear that music, you know who's in the building. Ladies and gentlemen.
New York to the heart, but got love for all. Lie, die in the fire where I learned the ball.
Welcome back, Uptown Malcolm.
Good to be back. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you very much. Now, did you have any concerns over the course of the last week?
Well,
that the fans would turn on you to the point that they would start demanding you be replaced by Alexa.
I wasn't concerned until those demands actually started rolling in.
You mean until you read the words, I demand you be replaced by Alexa,
yes.
You weren't concerned?
No, I was not concerned because we have family over here.
That's right.
Know?
SGG and Alexa, everyone's family.
At any point, anybody can, you know, jump in and we can give you an entertaining episode on the world and wrestling and the world of wrestling. But I didn't think that meant they was going to start a hashtag fire SGG.
Did you actually ever get that hashtag?
I did not. I saw hashtag fire road dog a lot this weekend, but no SGG.
Why fire road dog?
People were disappointed. I didn't realize that the pay-per-view came across so bad on television.
Wait, and people are such nerds that because he's the producer, people were saying that?
Yes.
Oh, my God, you losers. Yes. No offense. No offense if you hashtagged Fire Road Dog, you're a loser. I'm just saying. If you were thinking that much, I literally work there. I've watched Road Dog work. I still wouldn't think to be like, oh, you know how they really blame for this is Road Dog. Yeah, he really wasn't doing his job. Who thinks that way? That is
They don't. Not that they don't think he was doing his job. They thought he did such a terrible job, which also.
I just mean, why would that? It's just such a nerdy thought process. Not to be like, oh, well, the talent wasn't very good or the writing wasn't good, but to go specifically to the producer.
To the top.
He does that. You know, Road Dog's pretty high up there now, huh?
Yeah, they went straight to the top. They went fire Road Dog.
No, I want to tell you guys right now. Have I said this yet on the podcast? The Road Dog is one of my favorite people.
I had not heard this before on the podcast.
Road Dog is mage. And I say that because I don't know him at all except for from being at work. And he literally, the first day I ever worked, came up to me afterwards and was like, dude, awesome. And like shook my hand. And then since then, he's just the nicest, most inclusive guy. So I will not condone fire Road Dog. And I guess we should start. Well, actually, no, we have to start outside the ring.
Not much going on outside the ring.
Actually, you know what? I forgot. It's the new era. We live in the new era.
We do what we want.
We do what we want. We talk about what we remember from this week, SGG. Yes, I want to talk about first Battleground. But I'm not going to talk about everything at Battleground. I want to talk about the Rpug Punjabi prison match.
Did it come across that bad on television?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You were there in luxurious seats.
Yes, thanks to you. But what a guy, this Peter Rosenberg. First of all,
thank you.
On his birthday,
I know.
He gives me a gift. If that is not the mensch of the cinch, I don't know.
What is the mensch of the cinch?
Yeah, like, I mean, come on.
If it's not, I mean, because I want you to hear this in person. Even though this is his theme song from 10 years ago.
It's the only theme song I hear when he comes out. Yeah.
This is still the one you live for.
Yeah, this is the one.
Why did they ever switch from this?
I do not know.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was perfect.
And I Hear Voices is just this a Jace. I think it's maybe even the same artist. Oh, is SGG going to get another stat today?
Time for a stat.
You want to outstat Alexa? Because you guys are tied as of the last couple of weeks. So anyways, we all saw it on TV. You were there.
Yes.
What was it like in person?
The main complaint was that nobody could see the match, which is a very valid complaint. The cage inside of the cage reduces visibility by a lot, especially when it's a bamboo cage.
It's noticeable.
Very noticeable.
And so when you're watching the match, are you literally not able to see, like, anything that's going on?
You're not able to see most of the match. Like, every once in a while through the cracks, you'll catch, like, a body slam or maybe something. Like, when they moved outside of the first cage, it got a lot better because you can see
through that one.
Yeah.
But even when they're outside, if they're on the other side of where you're sitting, that must be pretty hard to see.
Yeah. It was awful when they were like having to look through basically three of the four walls of the cage to see what's happening. At that point, I just tried to like look up and catch the screen above the ring, just because
you got so little otherwise.
Yeah, it was that bad.
So what came up? Tell us. Okay, so did anyone pop for Great Khali?
Oh, everyone popped for Great Khali, which is crazy.
Really?
Yes.
So hold on. If, in fact, they just brought him back for that night, which I'm guessing is the case, does that mean it worked?
Yes.
You mean it got the oh pop?
It did. There were kids who had no idea who he was, and they were in awe. You know, the people who, like, the smart fans who were there cheering for Jinder Mahal anyway, like, they were hyped.
Like you?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I was 100% behind the Maharaja. But, yeah, he got a reaction no matter how you look at it. Like, you had people who didn't know who he is, who's like, what is going on, which is a reaction that they obviously want because they wanted to shock people. You had people who knew who he was and who knew exactly what was going to happen, who were hyped to see that this meant Jinder Mahal would retain his championship.
The modern day Maharaja.
And then you had the Randy Orton supporters who were pissed off that he showed up. So, like, either way, they got a reaction. The one thing that you always hear that they never want no reaction. And that's not what happened. The Great Khali, I would say, definitely worked.
Oh yeah, I would certainly hope so. At least for that purpose. Now, so full disclosure, we shot a Bring It to the Table yesterday, and I was talking to the most hated John Bradshaw Layfield. Okay, and I said, "Can Jinder Mahal ever just get a win? Like, how many things does he need to cheat? Singh Brothers, Great Khali, how much does he need to cheat?" And JBL said, him winning in clean in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3, would be the death of him. He made a really good case for it, for why the idea of being that big and in that good shape and still cheating all the time, on why that is so much better for his heat. And he told me a story, and I hope I'm at liberty to say it, but you know what? F it. I think I can. About when he worked with Undertaker. And Undertaker, you know, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
And Undertaker
was in his wedding.
Yeah. They're tight. And Undertaker told him, "I want you to hit me with a clothesline from hell, 1, 2, 3, middle of the ring at a pay-per-view." And JBL was like, "Absolutely not." He was like, "I'm dead." He was like, "You're killing me. You're killing me as a heel. If I just hit you with my finish and lay you out, like, that's, it's too good for the heel to do that." And it was funny. I was like, I didn't even think about it that way. So what they ended up doing was the finish. You'll probably remember this pay-per-view. The finish they ended up opting for was, Undertaker came outside the ring and beat the hell out of him and, like, choke slammed him through his limo and got disqualified.
And on a pay-per-view.
And JBL was like, "Then I can spend the next 3 months celebrating my victory over you when you kicked my ass. That's the money right there." And I was like, I didn't even think about that. He's like, "Because how would it look?" He said,
"That's a good point, too."
JBL said that he said to Taker, "I've been saying for 6 weeks, I'm going to beat you. So if I go out and then beat you in the middle of the ring, I'm no longer, you know, a chicken-ish heel. I delivered on my promise. The point is for the heel to always lie and not deliver. So it did make me rethink it. And I was just sitting there like, man, Jinder's so big. Why does he need so much help? But I guess ultimately in terms of, because we're new to building this heel, this character. It's new. It needs time for him to be a real piece of garbage. So why not bust out the Great Khali? Now, I don't think we'll see him again. And I will tell you, I did hear, I got a text on Saturday from someone who was like, yo, I just saw the Great Khali working security in Miami somewhere. I heard that Saturday. And then he showed up on TV Sunday night.
That's crazy.
Shout out to my boy Daytona. Daytona's who hit me that. Daytona, by the way, has a thing, has a record right now. You heard this record. Shout out to Daytona crushing this right here.
You know, I'm like, yeah, nice P, you know?
What up, P?
Man.
What up, P? Is that you?
Yeah. You're the most when I pull up, they notice me. Come and talk to me like Jodeci. But don't you be too close to me. Them goons you see, let it go for me. I bring them things. I call the plug, he bring them things. Mucho. Bring them things, looking so expensive, rings and things. I bring them things.
By the way, I should consider this being my theme song. Listen to the beginning.
Montana. You know, I'm like, yeah, nice P, you know?
What up, P?
Man. Yeah.
You're most
like when I pull up, they notice me. Come and talk to me.
It's pretty good intro music. What are your thoughts? And then everyone can sing along to this next part. Hold on.
I bring them things. I call the plug. He bring them things.
And then the sound coming up when he goes. People go for it. Of course.
I bring them things. You don't wanna for them, bro. Oh, you high in this.
Sorry, guys, we had a rap moment. We rarely get to have them. I needed one. Shout out to Daytona. So, anyways, I'm glad to hear that at least Khali got the pop in person. I watched after the fact. Full disclosure: Sunday was my birthday. I was at Kendrick, so I went to Kendrick and I watched when I got home. And when I saw people tweeting about Great Khali, I was like, "Oh hell no, no chance." So I went and watched that. Before I went to Kendrick, in the car, I watched New Day Usos, which I thought was good. And what did I tell y'all about that Xavier Woods finisher? I told you they liked that. That Xavier Woods, when he went over 2 weeks ago with his finish, it looked so good. I was like, oh, this is about to be a thing.
It's the
Coast to Coast of Jace.
It is. And it's a beautiful elbow drop. But my only thing is that match should have ended on that super kick belt. Like, he got his head taken off.
Xavier did.
Yes.
So you're actually, again, Uptown Malcolm, you're upset, real life upset that the Usos dropped the title.
I will say this. Wow. I will say this. Crystal was with me at Battleground, as you know.
Did she wipe your tears up?
That match caused a brief rift in our relationship.
Oh, she was New Day.
She was New Day all the way, and I was Usos. And
this must have been very hard for you.
And then I also ran into Emilio Sparks, who, as we know, is the white New Day member.
And that's right, he is.
And I told him that I was pulling for the Usos as well. And then moments after that is when I heard the 1-2-3, and I saw that we had new tag team champs.
And it hurt.
It did. I like New Day. I like New Day. I don't want it to sound like...
I remember a time when you loved New Day.
I really like New Day. I respect
and
them.
And I remember a time when you really...
I just wasn't ready for the Usos to lose.
I know. I know it's hard for you. I just want to say what a fraud you are. Because I remember when you really loved the New Day and repped for them very hard. And I'm just curious to what happened. That, you know, you flipped on them. You really turned heel on the New Day.
I will say this. The New Day is like the John Cena of tag teams. They have this thing that they're doing that is working, and it will work forever, and they don't need to change it. And I like and respect John Cena too, but every once in a while, there's this new person that comes up that I want to see do well, despite John Cena needing to have a championship or be in the spotlight.
Every once in a while, you just feel like John Cena sucks, John Cena sucks?
It's fun to say, yeah.
Oh, really? So are you saying on occasion, SGG, you are the kind of guy, let's just be very clear, who will sing John Cena sucks?
I'll tell you this. I will sing John Cena sucks and then root for him in the match that immediately follows that entrance. It's just fun. It's like at this point, it's like
it's you suck.
Yeah, it is. It's, you do it out of respect. You do it for fun. But then at the same time, like, you know that no matter how much you want to hate, that like this guy is legit.
By the way, I think that's a great point you just made. I love what you just said. You are saying that John Cena sucks is the new you suck.
It absolutely is.
Wow. SGG, you're delivering early. We're back on it. I'm back in the country. And
it's the only way to do it. Only way to do it.
And there's only one way to celebrate what you just said. Since I'm in it's... Forgot or fell off. I'm still hot, knock your shell off. My money stacked back, plus I can't turn the swell off. Getting big business, I'm in this, I'm automatic. I win this, so you can't run, you finish. A soldier, and I stay under you, fighting. Plus I'm storming on you cats like I'm thundering, lightning. You all know the words, don't lie. I'm hard as nails, plus I keep it on lock. Like I'm part of the jail, stopping his nail. Competition, I got the whole block wishing you can run with my division, but you go on fishing with no big. Kids, your boy holds weight. I got my soul straight. I brush your mouth like Colgate. Oh! In any weather, I'm never spreading. Your boy's so hot. You never catch me in the next man's sweater. If he hate, let him hate. I drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 second tan. Have a 3 second tan. It's a 3 second tan. Excuse me. The question is, the real person knows trademarks verse. Be real. It's gonna be what it's gonna be. Trade rounds of rugby world, trail with your pants with a corn tea. It's a war dance, a victory step. A ball stance is a gift, and you insist it's my rep. Oh, trademark, y'all are so-so. We talk about the bread you make, but don't know the recipe for dodo. Selling guns in all your photos, that's a no-no. In this pocket, your lip lock, your big talks are ringing no-show. See what happens when the ice age melts. To see monetary status is not what matters, but it helps. I'm rocking timepiece by many, if any. The same reason y'all could love me is the same. So right around the time when I got back into wrestling in 05, Cena really was a big part of me coming mm-hmm. back. It was that intro. It was that Abadoo, which I still think that beat's dope. I love that song. Is the rapping amazing? No, but it's good enough. It's perfect for an intro.
Yeah, it's perfect for Cena too, because he doesn't have to be Jay-Z.
Nah.
Or like,
and Cena's not terrible. I'll say right now. Cena is, for people who think that like, oh, Cena's not terrible. I bet if Cena took it, I bet if we went through and
Is he still as good, though?
I don't know if he could still be. He's been listening to country for like 10 years.
Yeah, so, you know, the fall off could have been real, really real.
I don't know if Cena ever listens to rap. That's something I need to ask Nikki Bella this. This is important. And because Nikki listens to rap. So the question is she able to influence him more? Because I think he listens to all country these days.
Which is crazy.
I mean, I love country, though, too. I mean, there are people who really, the transition, although he listens to like old school, real country, which doesn't resonate in my ear.
Who do you like that's a country music artist?
Really poppy country, to be honest with you. Like, I love the Dixie Chicks.
Okay.
Tim McGraw.
Okay.
I like Kenny Chesney. I like Eric Church. These are, like, pop. I mean, like, it's all very pop. And, of course, like, the Dixie Chicks are the most left-wing liberal artists on planet Earth. I mean, like, you know, Tim McGraw, good friends with Bill Clinton. Come on. I mean, I'm not, like, into... Although I do like, let's see what country I have on here. I do have some. I do have some other stuff that's not necessarily. This is a nice song. I'm not gonna. I don't. How do I have Luke Bryan on my computer? That must have been from a wedding.
That you did.
Here's the only. You guys. Here's the only country that SGG knows.
The only country that matters.
The only country I recognize is country grammar. But no, so when I, around the time I got back into it, though, I Cena got me so into it that this was the radio show I was doing. And I was so into wrestling. I was doing a night show on WJFK back in D.C. And I got so hardcore hooked back into it that I made an intro, not rapping, but I made this intro that I actually was using on the show. And I believe the first voice that you're going to hear going, who the hell is Peter Rosenberg? I believe it's Michael Cole. And that's real.
Who the hell is Peter Rosenberg?
On the radio.
Pete Rosenberg.
I just want sleep in my mouth.
Leave me alone, Rosenberg.
Shut up. I hate you.
He's Jewish.
Yeah. But just remember one thing, dude.
Yeah.
A whole lot of
fluffy
going on.
Great time.
Woo! You are one pathetic loser.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Sure.
I've got rhythm. I've got music.
Peter Rosenberg.
You're listening to the one of the realest dudes ever.
On the radio.
Pete Rosenberg.
I like you.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
What a terrible intro.
Why did he say that?
Do you think it was Cole? Did it sound like him?
Why? It did sound like him. Why would he say that?
Who the hell is Peter Rosenberg?
Because, well, I don't know, maybe it wasn't him. It happened when...
Well, you were like requesting radio interviews and then...
No. They were doing... Taz and Michael Cole tried out for the time slot that I ended up getting. And when they tried out for it, they were getting prank calls from my listeners being like, where's Peter Rosenberg? Where's Peter Rosenberg? Y'all aren't Peter Rosenberg. So that is the who's the hell is Peter Rosenberg. See?
So hold on. Just to tie it even more into wrestling real quick, the country thing. At Battleground, they showed a commercial, or I guess like a trailer for a movie titled Pure Country, Pure Heart. Shawn Michaels is in that movie. In the trailer, they made sure to feature Shawn Michaels prominently. Last night I'm watching TV, and I see a Pure Country, Pure Heart commercial.
He's not even in it.
Same commercial, except Sean is completely cut out of the commercial.
But it's a mainstream movie.
It is a mainstream movie.
But so Sean has a tiny part in it.
See, we don't know though. We don't know because
if he's not in the real commercial. He's just in the WWE version. Is that correct?
What do you mean? Are they going to release a version for the network?
No, like they probably requested from the movie company, we'll promote it, but we need a version where you put Sean in it.
Right.
What? Like, yo, Sean's movie that he did, that Christian movie?
Yeah. Did you see it?
No, did you see it?
I did not. Snow Marine 5.
When you saw other trailers for it, he wasn't even in that one that much. That's just,
is that not offensive?
That they don't use him more?
Yeah.
Well, I'm offended. You know, want to know a good country song?
I can't believe I'm
As you can hear, it's not horribly twangy. I'm not into super twangy. Listen. Like, and the beat is a very regular two-country boy.
Two-country
Like, he doesn't talk like that. Rappers don't talk how they rap.
DMX absolutely talks how he raps.
Damn, you really chose DMX.
He does.
DMX, okay, some do. Prodigy,
but he has like a whole new voice though. Like his like the.
How do you know that guy doesn't talk like that? It's Eric Church. You never talk to Eric Church.
I probably never will, but I can can assume that he does not.
I don't think that's a fair assumption at all. You have no idea how he sounds.
Nobody talks like that.
Today's new goal. So the only country you like is Jeff Jarrett country.
Yes.
Now that's your kind of.
With My Baby Tonight by Road Dogg. Classic country tune. And Rap Is Crap.
Are you a big Rap Is Crap fan?
Rap Is Crap is amazing.
All right, SGG. So I know you were very upset, obviously, about the Usos losing. That was a hard week for you. Also at the pay-per-view, AJ Styles drops the title to KO.
Yes.
Who then gives it right back.
In a confusing finish, which made sense on Tuesday.
Explain that. Explain what you thought about the finish in person.
Yeah, it just felt weird. Like, the transition from the submission move to the pin. I don't know if the flaw was with the execution, which I doubt, because those are two of the best in the world right now. Or the positioning, or I don't know. Like, I just don't know. But it felt weird from the arena.
And then how do you feel about the switcheroo back on SmackDown? And how did you feel about Chris Jericho coming back?
Chris Jericho coming back was a very pleasant surprise. And the switcheroo, I guess you could say, makes sense. SmackDown made the switch make sense on Sunday, I mean. Because with Jericho coming back, and he can then make his claim to a rematch, because Kevin Owens, like when he left, Kevin Owens was the champ. When he comes back, Kevin Owens is the champ. And regardless of whatever happened in between that time, he can still go after the man who took the championship away from him.
Here's the question I have for you. I do not believe that Jericho's sticking around. I think it was just a wham bam, thank you, man.
For a Tuesday, though? That, like, why would they just waste it on Tuesday in one shot?
If he was just felt like coming back. And here's my question. If that's the case, and it was a wham bam, thank you, ma'am, and he's out, is that a waste of a pop? That just makes it less exciting when he eventually actually comes back for a run?
Yes. Because, like I said, it's just a Tuesday, like a triple threat on a Tuesday. Excellent match, but then they could have done that at a pay-per-view, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's one of the topics you'll hear us address on bringing to the table on Monday, is this whole save it for the pay-per-view thing, which, because a lot of people felt SmackDown was better than Battleground. A lot of people feel that matches are being wasted generally on free TV.
But they need the content, though. So I understand them putting these matches on free TV, because, like, it's what? NXT, SmackDown, and Raw. That's like 6 hours weekly.
It's a lot.
Yeah, they got to fill that content. And it's the reason why we get so many rematches and things don't always feel fresh, but they have that time. They have to fill the time.
That's the thing. I don't necessarily complain about the stuff, whether it's on TV or whether it's on pay-per-view. The only thing I would care about is if you're like blowing something off. Like, I obviously don't think that you want to have the biggest thing possible on a pay-per-view. But I'm not complaining about good content on a pay-per-view. Not being on a pay-per-view. What I'm here to complain about this week more than anything, because we don't have anything major to hit from Battleground, do we? Besides that?
No.
Did you enjoy Shinsuke and Baron?
I did. I thought it was a decent match.
Did you think?
I didn't think it was great. I thought it was decent. I think their match on
SmackDown was better.
Yeah.
Goldstein thought that was Shinsuke's best work on the main roster.
Was he saying that was Shinsuke's best work on the main roster?
Or did he mean Baron's best work?
I don't know. We should have clarified.
But by the way, he could have meant either one.
Yeah. Sadly. I mean, and I don't think Shinsuke is being wasted necessarily. I think he's being saved for a bigger stage. And so, like,
I'll tell you what, you know, it's a nice big stage is this match against John Cena next week. Excited about this?
Oh, man. I can't believe we're getting John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
And that's also part of the conversation that I think some people are having right now about wasting it on free TV. Like, should that just be the SummerSlam match?
But there's no stakes, though. Like, you know, there's not a championship at stake. There's not even pride or anything at stake.
Well, to be honest, and let's be honest, if they're going to have their big match one day, this match can set up the stakes. Because whoever steals this, like let's say someone, whoever gets over on this one, the other one's going to be like, I got you.
Yeah.
And now you have a reason because you took the championship opportunity.
Yeah. Especially if...
and it's going to be Cena.
Especially if the championship ends up being involved down the road between the two of them.
And by the way, you would predict Cena, correct?
I really don't know. I mean, Cena seems like the obvious choice. And then to go right into SummerSlam and win the championship. But, and this is just me overthinking, as most wrestling fans tend to do, I can't understand why I don't see John Cena winning the opportunity and then winning the championship and then still claiming he's a free agent. Because does that mean he's going to take the championship to Monday nights when he feels like it?
Well, I'll tell you what, that could be a good way to start the moving the title back and forth.
If you move the title back and forth, what happens to the Universal title? Does that also go back and forth?
I don't know.
I've always been an advocate.
I don't have all the answers.
I've always been an advocate of one world champion, one women's champion, and one tag team champion, one set of tag team champions. So if this means that they're going to take those championships and move them back and forth, I am all for that transition. But then what, you know, what do you do with these championships that have this short lineage? You know what I mean? Like, does Alexa Bliss's Raw Women's Championship matter anymore?
I don't know. And I don't know when they decide to eventually do all of this either. Do I need to wait any more to the topic I'm most emotional about?
No, you're right. Get right on it.
Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss should be having a match at SummerSlam.
Agreed.
I love Bayley. In fact, I call her Bayley.
What did you say?
I call her Bayley.
Bayley?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because she's Bay.
I
love her. It's not her time right now. It's not her time right now. In fact, they should be thinking about what they're doing with her otherwise. And what happened since Extreme Rules that's changing Bayley. Because we didn't get anything that made her character change.
Yeah.
So you have
They dug in their heels on her characters. Like she said, she's not extreme enough. She doesn't have another gear.
And now you have things like Booker will say something like, I don't know, man, she don't got it. and so they almost end up burying her. He said something this week about like, she doesn't have it, you know? So whatever needs to be done with Bayley needs to be done.
Yeah.
But in Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks, you have two people who sincerely don't like each other. Real life blood feud.
And that would make for a great match, too. Like, that heat.
That is what the division needs. It's what they both need. Let's be honest. Alexa is a great character. She's an okay worker at this point, but that's not what her thing is. The best worker on Raw is Sasha. So you need to include her in as much of the main event work as you can, frankly. Yes. Now, I'm going to give you a preview. Frankly, I don't even know if it ends up making the cut of Bring It to the Table, but I'm going to tell you right now because this is our podcast. I have hinted before that there are mixed feelings about Sasha backstage, that she may not be the easiest person.
But here's the thing.
I'm sorry. I'll let you go, Greg. I just want to say this, though.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's my experience. Because I really like Sasha, and I think she's an immense talent. I don't care.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying it's good. And I'm not saying that for down the road, it won't impact her longevity. And I'm not saying that if she is being annoying, she doesn't need to work on it. None of that am I saying. But in this moment, SummerSlam, as a fan, I want Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
And what if she has things that make her personally difficult, That stinks. But guess what? Ultimate Warrior had things that made him...
I'm so glad you said that. I was going to say, a lot of our male faves had things that made them difficult, but they delivered in the ring, and they bought the money, and they got the opportunity. And, like, that's what
the bottom line is. I wish I had said that on the show. That line I didn't say, but you're right. Because how many great men have been huge pains in the ass?
They politic. They brought everybody else down around them, stabbed people in the back, all of that. And they get praised for it because... They put the asses
or,
in the seats.
Or they get over, or it gets overlooked.
And because they put the asses in the seats and they made the money and they delivered great matches. I mean, Sasha Banks' merch is selling, so she's making the money.
No, and that's the thing. How much do any of the women, or how much are they responsible for ticket sales? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know enough information. But I'll tell you what, I know based on how they use Sasha and Bayley in particular on the website, on social, on TV, they're making money somewhere.
Yeah.
There's... So in Sasha, you have someone who is making a ton of money for you in some way, and she's the best. Sasha is the best wrestler in the company this side of Asuka, okay?
Yeah.
I would say Sasha and Asuka are like the two best wrestlers, with Charlotte coming after that, or, you know, in that range. Now, Charlotte and Sasha together put on the best show that the women put on in WWE.
They ran the women's division last year.
Ran it the whole time. Now, Alexa is an exciting character because she's awesome at being a heel. She's beautiful. I'll tell you what. I know she's probably not like this developed worker yet. I like how Alexa works. I like a bunch of the things she does. I like how she bumps. There's a lot I like about Alexa. And she's little, so she like... There's a lot that she can do that I think there's potential for. And we know that she hasn't been like a wrestler her whole life. She was like into gymnastics and body sculpting and things like that. So I'm not trying to knock her as a worker. But Sasha is Sasha. So if Sasha is annoying and a pain, I hope, like with anyone, that she learns how to not be that way. And maybe not rock the boat so much, or maybe pick your battles a little bit better, right?
Right.
I hope for all of that. But all that said, Sasha is a face of the company sort of talent. That's what she is. So unless she does something awful that is like, you cannot look past this, what are we talking about? Because whether it was Warrior or Hogan or Shawn Michaels, or so many more that have been really difficult, we made it work. So give me Sasha Banks at SummerSlam, man. That's what I want. I want more of this. And maybe it's not over. We could get more of it later. But it ends up ultimately in this moment being a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, especially like when they made the case for her on Monday. I forget who it was, if it was Michael Cole, Corey Graves, or even Booker T. But one of them mentioned that like... Sasha Banks saying that she wanted to go to Brooklyn and redeem herself because she lost the NXT championship in Brooklyn. And then she lost that, I think she lost the women's title in Brooklyn too, the Raw Women's Championship.
Yeah, I don't think she has any wins in Brooklyn.
No, so they were saying like she wants to come back to Brooklyn and do well. And then they take the opportunity for her to even be in Brooklyn away from her. That was, you know, I don't know.
Did I go too hard?
No.
It's just how I feel.
Even if you did, you were right.
That's really going to help me when everything I have dreamed about is gone. But honestly, no one could say that I went too far. Because I'm not defending Sasha, because I really don't know what Sasha's deal is. And I'm not coming down on Sasha either, because I really don't know what her deal is.
All
but I know there's something going on.
There's a little bit of consistency.
Well, you would agree. You would agree, even from the outside looking in, that based on the way Sasha seems to pop up and disappear from the picture, it's that she's the one holding herself back in some way, or that's how it's perceived.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say so.
So I just hope they figure it out. And if not, who's the big brother who's going to come to him and be like, yo, you're too good. Fix these relationships around here. And listen, she's not the only one who has issues like that. There's people. It's a very interesting place, and for the women right now. And I'm curious. Would you like to see an all out turn from Bayley?
No, What does that do for her or anybody?
Oh, it'd be interesting.
But what would she like? What would that even look like, though?
That's the interesting part. I don't know.
Would we believe it? Like, would we believe it? Is it like the story goes that the Bailey character developed from the fact that, like, she just couldn't be mean. Like, she couldn't stop smiling. So what does heel Bailey look like?
She loses her smile.
Can she even be rude enough, like, to the kids that looked up to her? Or, like...
Well, no one's as rude as Team Rude. Nia Jackson, Alexa Bliss. That's Team Rude.
Can she... Bailey doesn't have that, though. Bailey doesn't have that in her.
Maybe she needs a mask. New look, new every... I mean, I don't know. Let's get creative. I mean, at some point, she cannot be exactly this her entire career. There's going to have to be some variation.
Why not? Why can't she be exactly this her entire career?
Just don't think it'll work forever. I mean, no, it will, but it's limiting. She can always be the favorite of little girls.
Yo, it like
but that's all they want.
John Cena's running on this character for like a decade, and we've all been saying like the what,
you know what? What you're saying is facts.
What has to happen for Bailey though is like her work just has to get to the level of, you know, where her popularity is. You know what I mean? She has to become that good also in the ring and on the mic, and then she doesn't have to do anything else. She can coast on that for as long as she can maintain the look.
That is an interesting point. The Cena comparison in particular is a very, very interesting point. So anyways, we'll see what we get. And by the way, maybe this ends up becoming something else, and I'm not saying there's not a way to tweak it and make it better, but ultimately, for a stacked SummerSlam card, and I killed my voice even worse than it already was, Sasha Alexa is the money.
Yeah.
That's the money. What the hell's going to happen with Enzo? Is he just going to get beat up by Cass every week?
I hope not. But it's looking like that is what is going to happen. And I read somewhere, I can't remember where, it was one of the dirt sheets. Someone said that apparently Vince McMahon gets a kick out of seeing Enzo get beat up. So,
what you mean, he just finds it entertaining?
Yes. So, if that's the case, then there's a lot of that in his future. If that's the case, it could also be the case that the sheets are just wrong.
So, you know, I think it's important when you read the dirts to think about with a critical eye and ear what stories get told. Because if you pay attention to the stories that get told, you can figure out maybe who are some of the people that saying the things that come out. Not about that one in particular, but if you really do, because I've been thinking about that. I listened to Shivani and Conrad Thompson this week. And I really enjoyed my first time listening to a full Shivani episode. Goldstein told me I had to listen to the Savage 95 Shivani. And I really enjoyed it. And one of the things I really enjoyed about it was that they talked very openly about how there were certain, they knew specifically, if you go back and look at certain periods in time, that the things that guys were reporting the dirt sheets were directly 100% based on who their relationships were at the time. And there have always been wrestlers who develop close relationships with the writers. Just like in every sport, there's always people like that who they're happy to be the one who gives some gossip. I'm not knocking the people for it. It might be me if I was a wrestler. I don't know. But when you listen to the Shivani one from 95, there's some stuff about that, about Meltzer's relationship with Hogan, you know, and or lack thereof, and how it impacted things. But anyways, all we're thinking about. SGG, sorry, I crumpled up your paper earlier because it's the new era. So we didn't mention the fact that if you really enjoy some good ish talking, I suggest you watch John Jones versus Daniel Cormier this weekend. Daniel Cormier, huge wrestling fan.
Yes, he was at WrestleMania 31. I believe he was in the God seats or up or somewhere up there cheering for Rollins. There's like a clip of him going crazy when Rollins cashes in his Money in the Bank briefcase from
Oh, really? In which you can see DC?
Yeah.
And then, of course, speaking of all of that, now the word is we could get Brock Lesnar going back.
Yeah.
To UFC.
Supposedly for a super fight with
Bones Jones.
Yeah.
By the way, it would really help if Bones Jones won this weekend.
You think there's a chance that he's going to lose this weekend?
To Cormier? Of course.
I mean,
maybe. You're not giving Cormier a chance?
I mean, listen.
He won. Jones beat him the first time by decision.
Right.
And I think Cormier is better now than he was then.
And that's the thing, too. Like, where is Jones now? Like, I don't know. But I doubted John Jones enough. It's not going to happen anymore. Especially when, like, he hates this guy. Like, that he beats on people that he just has, like, feels whatever for. Like, they hate each other, which is probably, you know, going to say something about what DC brings to the octagon, too. But, like I said, I'm not gonna doubt Bones Jones.
I got to tell you, though, I love how weird the matchup would look between Bones Jones and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
From a physical standpoint. And it's such a weird matchup. It's like old school UFC when you just had, like, Royce Gracie versus some huge
dudes.
Right, because Brock is, like, twice the size, or not, 1.5 times the size of John Bones Jones. But Jones is such an incredible athlete. Probably the best. He might be the best athlete ever in the history of the octagon.
And Jones is, like, real smart in that cage, too. Like, he knows what to do to, like, pick apart his opponents and bring in the win. And, like, he's super talented in damn near all areas. Like, it would be a great fight, I think, Jones and Lesnar. Jones and DC, too, but I guess maybe I'm like Jones. I'm looking past Saturday into a potential.
See, I wouldn't do that. I would not do it. And well, I wouldn't look past.
I can do that because I'm not going to be the one in the cage. But
that's a very good point.
If I'm John Jones, though, you're right.
By the way, did you see any pictures from Peter Palooza 6 last night?
I did not. So I saw like a handful on social media.
I'm saying, so you didn't see me rocking the Strong Style jacket?
Oh, I saw the Strong Style jacket. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Mage. Very mage.
Problem was, I wore a Michael Jackson shirt under it, so everyone thought I was just dressed up as Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which, by the way, makes sense. I mean, it's
a red leather jacket with a Michael Jackson shirt.
It looks a lot like a Michael Jackson, and by the way, it's definitely heavily influenced by it because that's who Shinsuke is.
But you seem to be like heavily hinting at wearing like at the Michael Jackson look with the shirt.
By the way, have you ever seen us get more heat than for leaving out Shinsuke from our SummerSlam card?
I can't believe we did that.
So what happens? Let's update that card, by the way. Do you didn't write it down, did you?
I don't have it with me. It's written down somewhere.
Really? Is it? Where's it written down, you think?
On the notes from that week. Which probably in the trash
garbage.
Can somewhere.
That's great. So that's helpful statistic.
It's recorded. It's in the. It's out there. It's in the cloud. It's on somebody's.
Oh, it's in the cloud.
Somewhere.
Good. No, but updating that. Did we have Cena with Jinder?
We did.
So we're still on pace for that to happen. If it does happen, where does Shinsuke go?
I don't know.
Baron Corbin.
No, get them far away from each other.
I don't think. I wouldn't say far away. I'm fine with it right now.
Well, they don't need each other. They don't need each other.
What we just said, that may have been one of their best matches both of them have had.
Yeah, because they both set the bar so low, which is not saying much for Shinsuke because he just got there. But Baron Corbin's been there since Dallas? WrestleMania in Dallas? So
yeah, since he won the Andre the Giant.
So come on, you know, like.
Are you seeing improvement?
No.
Wow. You just hate Baron Corbin.
No, I don't hate him. Like, I was a fan of his in NXT, and I was excited to see him get called up. And then, like, he kind of just, like, plateaued for me.
All that aggression inside you, you chose to take it out on an inanimate object. And not only an inanimate object. Hey, shut up. Shut your mouth.
I told Seth that we play that all the time. I was like, would it make you think less of me that we regularly just play you botching a line? He's like, which one? There are lots to choose from. I was like, inanimate object. And he was like, oh, yeah. And then he was like, and then he said, though, that that's what he misses about his character being that version of the character. Because when you're a heel and you mess up, you just can yell, shut up. And it doesn't matter because you messing up is fine.
Yeah.
Because they're there to boo and laugh at you anyway.
It gives you an excuse to go at the crowd.
Whereas when you're a good guy, when you're a good guy and you're trying to figure it out, you end up in a situation like this.
If you actually think I was just the right guy at the right place at the right time, let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy at the right place at the right time, well, then you're a bigger delusional bastard than I thought you were, McMahon.
I still think he doesn't.
Do you remember his face?
Yes.
Do you remember it shows Vince and he's looking at him like, if you don't get this damn line out? Yo, Vince's face, if you've never watched the visual of that on SmackDown, that
he's just like,
his eyes are so wide, like, finish what you're supposed to say. And the fact that he says, it's truly, the reason I replay that all the time is, the fact that he then follows it up by saying, the right gay guy, like, how did you end up saying gay? It didn't have anything to do with anything else
I'm
you were saying.
I'm gonna say it one more time. So
let me. And he keeps saying that. It's like three times. He's like, and I'm gonna say it just one more time to be completely clear. Now, I want to be completely clear with you, the Cheap Heat Universe, the Peckerheads, the humanoids out there. We are today. Maybe I will have the phone call to finalize Cheap Heat Live for SummerSlam 2017.
Woo!
A moment that will go down in history. So, what you need to do is stay tuned to the social medias at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg. And as soon as this information comes down the line, we will announce it and we will expect to see you guys in New York City that weekend. So I'm still locking down what it's going to be, but it's going to be a can't miss. Plus the new shirts, the new merch we have. Oh, okay. Game changing. Just talked to my boy Rob Pearson right now. Just texted me. Now we got to get out of here, SGG, because Laura Stiles and company are waiting to do an episode of Improper Etiquette. Shout out to all the ladies.
Wouldn't it be improper etiquette on our part if we just make them wait another 10 minutes?
See, exactly. Now, do you have anything you need to get off your chest before we get out of here?
Burning in My Light and Voices, Randy Orton's two theme songs, were recorded by two different bands.
Wow!
And there are no overlapping members in either band. So I was thinking maybe somebody broke out of the one and then joined the other one to record.
But no.
No.
They do sound similar. Also, I want to say that I think Naomi is doing a much better job talking. I'm loving her improvement on the mic. I also want to say, I put it on social media and I promised we'd get into it. We didn't even get into it. I'm excited about Jason Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Y'all, how did we not get into that?
Because we're horrible hosts and it's the new era, so you never know what's going to happen. You may not hear about what you want to hear about. It's really actually a terrible formula to have. But I believe that Jason Jordan has the potential to be world champion. And on another time, you and I can talk about all the other implications that come with that.
Right.
Because obviously, him being an African-American gentleman, there's a lot of exciting upside when you think about what Jason Jordan could be.
I will say this, though, before we get out.
Whoa!
Just really quickly.
Okay.
A lot of people like to talk about the fact that there was not a black world champion, but I think that is very disrespectful to The Rock. I will still say this. His father was the first black African-American tag team champion. So there's.
I agree. And it's by no means our place to say that.
Yeah. But not only that, you can't say, like, the company knows he's black too because they threw him in the Nation of Domination. So, like, it's been acknowledged on the.
Well, and that's also how you know Owen Hart is black. So, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, Black Hart, rest in peace. But I'm very excited. I know he's not a great talker, and Jason Jordan is not a great talker.
Yet.
But yet. I don't know. Yeah, not yet. However, his physical ability is so strong, and it's such a great fit to go with Kurt Angle that, I don't know, there was a moment this week when he took the straps down and did the Kurt Angle that I was like, ooh, this, I could see this.
Yeah, and it's something he's been doing for a while, but like now that they're together.
No, of course, he's been doing that with American Alpha, but there was something that struck differently with the association with Angle. And I want to say it right now, I'm calling it right now, I would put the Rocket on his back. I would do something crazy. You know situations we talk about whether the man makes the title or the title makes the man? I think he's the kind of guy that quickly, in a matter of weeks, months, SummerSlam, goes out and grabs the title. I know that may sound crazy to people right now, but where he somehow gets an opportunity and grabs the title, maybe Kurt turns heel with him and maybe it's him getting an opportunity he shouldn't even get. But he gets it.
Which is fine with me.
But he gets it. Well, obviously, Greg, we know he's black. You're taking him all the way to the top.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what if it's him versus the Usos, though?
Tim versus the Usos? Jason Jordan got to get that world championship.
Wow. He's number. Can we do a black wrestler rankings with Stat Guy Greg every week?
The power rankings right now is the...
The black power rankings. Stat Guy Greg's black power rankings. All right, we got to go. That'll do it for GP. We'll see y'all next week.
Stay mage.
That's right.